Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. From resurrection life to eternity in God's presence, your lasting joy comes from the hope that Jesus brings. That's your hope. And if you are in despair or discouragement today, I just pray that you will ask your Heavenly Father, especially if you know Him as your personal Savior, Lord, the Lord Jesus, oh, come into my heart and refresh my heart. Bring me joy today because I've been discouraged. You need to be honest with God. Really, He can handle it. He can handle anything. And if you come honestly before Him and describe to Him the feelings that you have and the as I said before, discouragement and despair, He is so able to bring that joy. It just percolates right up when you think of Him. It really does. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And I have those moments too. Yes, I do. There are some times I ask, okay, Lord, what is this burden that I'm carrying today? And He reveals to me, sometimes I'm praying for loved ones, sometimes a power partner, He brings them to mind, and so I'm praying for them, because I know that some of you really carry heavy burdens, and God wants to take those heavy burdens. Oh, He so does. Before we talk to Kimberly, I want to remind you that this is probably the last day that you can write a check to Call to Freedom and have Haitian People or Samaritan's Purse as a donation for your check. I'm not talking right. And thank God for organizations like Samaritan's Purse that are willing to make all the effort and time to give aid, not only in the physical, but also bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to these precious people who've been under a stronghold for a long time. See, agencies like Red Cross and Worldly Aid organizations, they don't tell people about Jesus. But when Samaritan's Purse comes into a country, those people that come in know the Lord Jesus, and they are witnessing along with building things and taking care of their needs. So thank you so much. Make your checks out to Call to Freedom, and then put either Haiti or Samaritan's Purse, and God bless you for your giving. I'm going to be sending a check then on Friday. God bless you for all that you do, for not only Call to Freedom, but all these other places that we give. And welcome, Kimberly, to the broadcast.
Thank you. Good to be with you again. We were talking last week about 1 John. I think you read the whole book on the air, or you touched on parts of the whole book.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, loved
and,
it.
Oh, me too. 1 John chapter 3. Last week I was talking about verses 4 through 8 and that problem of sin and how sin is more than what we tend to think of it. Mm-hmm. Sin is anything that prevents us from hearing our Lord, anything that keeps us from trusting in Him and leaning on Him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. And so we kind of focused on that last week, and I'm flip-flopping a little bit. This week I want to read from 1 John chapter 3 again, but now verses 1 through 3, the first verses that came before that. Mm-hmm. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. Yes. That's who we really are. But that's also why the world does not recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who He is or what He's up to. But friends, that's exactly who we are, children of God. And that's only the beginning. Who knows how we will end up? It is not yet apparent what we will be. What we know is that when Christ is openly revealed, we will see him. Mm. And in seeing him, become like him.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
All of us who look forward to his coming, stay ready with the glistening purity of Jesus' life as a model for our own.
Oh, that's beautiful, Kimberly. And I remember when Darren used to say, behold what manner of love the Father, he always used the word lavished. The Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God. Love those words of God pouring his love out upon us.
Yes. Oh, I love that too. And making him our priority. That is something. Oh, Nancy DeMoss Wagamuth, bless you. She just said that right before we came
she
on
did.
The air. And yes, that we don't want to stay focused on this visible realm.
Right.
We want to focus on God's. It's an unseen realm, but it's the one that is more real. It's unshakable. It's uncorrupted. And that's where we want to keep our focus.
Yes.
This visible realm is always going to be shakable. And it's shaking all the time. Any power that we give to this realm to save us or satisfies us, that pulls us away from the one that we were made for. We don't want to give power to this realm because this realm is corrupted.
And
it's shakable.
It's shakable. Mm-hmm. I have found out, Kimberly, that when I do wander away from focusing on the good things, you know, Paul said in Philippians 4:8, think on these things that are pure and true and honest and of a good report. When I find myself wandering away and looking at some of the world things that I have to take care of, I get anxious. There's a temptation to get really anxious about some of the things of this world. So in order to be peaceful, we got to get back into the realm of the kingdom of God within us.
Amen. Anxious and full of worry and full of doubt and irritation and frustration. I agree with you. That's all that comes from keeping our eyes in this visible realm and trying to make things work.
Yes.
With what this world offers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we don't want to give power to this realm. We want to give power to God's realm that we were made for, the eternal realm.
Yes.
I was reading from Isaiah 57 in the Message, and I want to share this. It says, you've chosen your fate. Your worship will be your doom.
Wow.
This is God speaking to his people. He's saying, you've chosen your fate. Your worship will be your doom. You're not worshiping the right things here. You anoint your King God with ointments and lavish perfumes on yourself.
Yes.
You know, we're supposed to be the fragrance of Christ to God, but we use all kinds of other ways that we think are going to make us smell good.
That's amazing. And it makes you think about my memories of living on the farm where smelling, you know, when I went to the corral and the pigs were there eating their slop and stuff, the smell was overwhelming. When I go to the chicken coop to get eggs, the smell was overwhelming. So, yeah, everything we use for perfumes for ourselves winds up to be real
a
stinky.
Stench.
Yeah, a stench, real stinky. Yes.
If it's not Christ in us, then it's a stench.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
The Isaiah 57 goes on to say, you send scouts to search out the latest in religion. Oh, my goodness. We have ways of sending out scouts now like never before. We can just press a button on our computer or on our smartphone, and we are out there searching, out there sending out scouts, searching for answers. You send them all the way to hell and back.
Wow.
You wear yourselves out. Trying the newest and the latest and the different, and you never see what a waste it all is. You've always found strength for the latest fads. You never got tired of trying new things, trying new religions.
Wow.
I'm reading from Isaiah 57 here.
That is amazing, Kimberly. It's like today. I mean, it's like he is speaking to this generation. And how many hundreds of years before Jesus was born did this man write this?
Yeah.
Oh,
hundreds, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So who talked you into the pursuit of this nonsense, leaving me high and dry, forgetting you ever knew me? Because I don't yell and make a scene, do you think I don't exist? I'll go over, detail by detail, all of your righteous attempts at religion, and I'll expose the absurdity of it all. Go ahead and cry for help to your collection of no gods.
Wow.
A good wind will blow them away. They are smoke, nothing but smoke. But anyone who runs to me for help will inherit the land. They will end up owning my holy mountain.
Hmm.
Oh, okay. So these are the scriptures from 1 John 3, 1 through 3, and from Isaiah 57 that I've been meditating on. And oh, how important it is to prioritize our God, our Lord, whom we were made for. That's something that the world is never going to understand.
Right.
He invites us to rest in him, allowing him to heal and to restore and to provide for us. The world is never going to understand rest.
No, they're
what
not.
What they understand, no. What they understand is responsibility,
yes,
or working harder to get ahead, burning the candle at both ends. They observe someone at rest and they get frustrated with it. You know, they see somebody who's resting and they're frustrated because they want to see them working harder.
I know. You see even these commercials on television with all of these exercise equipment. Keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. And our Christian, the body of Jesus Christ, our Christians are thinking that I need to keep moving, keep moving, keep busy. And Kimberly, you're absolutely right. From the first time you taught on rest in the Lord, I have been devoting some time during the day to just give it to him. Just stay in a position of stillness. Be still and know that I am God. And really rely on him when I need to really move. And because in him I do live and move and have my being.
And right.
He's the one that tells me, okay, now it's time for you to do something. But we think that moving is the answer. Keep moving, keep moving.
Oh, we're deceived when we think that. And we do tend to think that way because we have so many resources in this world, and especially in this country. We've got so many resources, and then we rarely look to God as our only source because of all these other resources. It's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard to stay focused. But if we seek him first, he will, I liked your word earlier,
lavishly. Oh, yeah.
Yes, he will lavish us with everything we need. Yes. He may even choose to direct us to the resources that this world offers. But we want it to be him. Like you said, he'll tell you when it's time to move.
Yes.
You know, we want it to be him leading us to those resources, not ourselves grasping for them ourselves, because that's how we are searching for all the new fads and never searching for our God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We were made for him, for his guidance, for his direction. So we don't want to make decisions without him. Mm-hmm. In the past few days, I've been meditating on Jesus' baptism, specifically when the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, and the Father's voice was heard saying, "This is the Son I love, and my greatest delight is in him."
Yes.
The church historian Jerome, he affirms that there were additional words that were spoken at that time by the Father. And he says that, "My Son, in all the prophets, I was waiting for you that you might come and I might rest in you, for you are my rest and my firstborn son who reigns forever."
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yes, Jesus is the firstborn and we are his brothers and sisters. We are the ones the Father was waiting for. When he said, "My son, I was waiting for you," he was waiting for Jesus to get it all started, the firstborn. Yes. But he was waiting for us. He had conceived in his mind what he wanted, and it's us, it's you, you who are listening today. The Father has been waiting for you, that he might come and rest in you. You are his child, and his greatest delight is in you.
Yes. Amen.
I am completely undone by that thought. I have been meditating on that, and it just, wow, it chokes me with emotion. Just letting that soak in, that you are his child, and his greatest delight is in you.
Yes.
Yes. I just think we need to practice being in agreement with him.
That's right. Kimberly, you are his delight and his chosen for such a time as this.
When
so many times I've said, have you hugged yourself today, or have you told yourself that God loves you with an everlasting love? And sometimes we neglect that. We're praying for everybody else in the countries and all the people of these nations. But you yourself are loved by God as you're listening to this today. Hug yourself and say, oh, Father God, you love me. You love me. You lavish your love upon me. So good.
Well, you know what, listeners? I'm just going to give you a chance right now to put your name in this phrase. I'll do it. I'll say it first. And then, Mom, you can just put your name in.
Okay.
And so when you put your name in, listeners, that's your chance to put your name in this passage here. So here I go. I'm going to start. Okay. Kimberly is the daughter God loves.
Barbara is the daughter God loves. And so if you've said your name, John or Martha or Frank is the son or daughter that God loves.
God loves. Okay. Yes. And his greatest delight is in Kimberly.
Oh. And his greatest delight is in Barbara.
Oh. Oh, put your name in there. Some of you are not doing this. I'm going to start over because I don't want to leave you behind. Let's start over here. And Kimberly is the daughter God loves.
Barbara is the daughter God loves.
And his greatest delight is in Kimberly.
And his greatest delight is in Barbara.
My daughter, or say my son if you're his son, my daughter, I've been waiting for you.
My daughter, I've been waiting for you.
Oh. That I might rest in you.
Oh, that I might rest in you.
For you are my rest.
For you, friend, are my rest. Oh, praise the Lord.
And my child who reigns forever with me.
And my child who reigns forever with me.
Oh, that's good.
Isn't
good
that great?
Affirmations.
Yes,
good to remember.
They really are.
Yes, we are clearing out all the old identities, all the old labels, and we are agreeing with God. His Spirit in us is clearing out all the old rocks, all the old trash. It's clearing the path for him to dwell in us and rest in us. I've been thinking about those labels. Isaiah 40 verse 3 has a scripture verse that all four gospels quote. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all quote this. The voice of the one calling out in the wilderness, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make straight in the wilderness or in the desert. Make straight a highway for our God. And that is metaphorical. It's talking about making a clear, clean path for him to our heart. Get those old stones and those old trash out of the way. And let me tell you, some of the old stones and trash are the labels that we have put on ourselves.
Yes.
We have put labels on ourselves, and we've put labels on people around us.
Yes.
And we either, this is our choice. We either put the label on us or we take them off of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only choices we have. We are a powerful people. We are made in God's image. So our words are powerful, and we have the power to speak things into existence because God has that power. And he is the original creator, but he has given us the same power with our words to attach things to ourselves or to loose them off of ourselves. Our words are going to bind things to us, or they're going to loose them off of us. Our words are going to put labels on, or they're going to take them off.
Yes.
And by the way, our enemy does not possess this same power.
Right.
Don't give him credit for being able to do this to you. He can only deceive us to get us to use our words for His purposes. Mm-hmm. And it's our words, our power, that keeps us stuck or sets us free. Right. We're either in agreement with God and we're free. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Yes.
Or our words are lining up with the enemies and in agreement with the enemy, and that keeps us stuck. It keeps us in chains. And this is why we need to discern whether we're labeling ourselves or labeling people, which is the same as identifying ourselves. We're identifying them with that label.
Yes.
Or we are labeling the thing that is attacking us. Do you see the difference there? Let me give some examples. We might say, I am worthless. You know, there might be a worthless label that has been on you. And so you've identified with it and said, I'm worthless. Mm-hmm. And it hurts to hear that. It hurts to identify yourself that way. But instead, flip it around and say, there is something here trying to make me feel worthless. That's uh-huh. different. Yes. Now you are not identifying with it. Now you are seeing it and you're naming it. And now you have power over it. You get to choose whether or not you're going to label yourself and identify with it, or take it off and say, I see you.
That's so good.
Yeah. You can also be thinking, I am abandoned. You can say that and identify with it and make it part of you, or you can see it as the thing trying to make you feel abandoned.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Put anything in there that you want. I'm always sick. Okay, you can label yourself always sick, mm-hmm. or you can see it as something that's trying to make you sick all the time.
Mm-hmm, yes.
You might think that you don't learn things very easily. Oh, I'm so stupid. You can identify yourself with that and put that label on yourself, or you can see it as the thing that's trying to make you feel stupid.
Yes.
See, if you keep making that thing your identity, you bind it to yourself and you remain in chains. If you recognize that thing as your enemy, then you can respond the same way Jesus taught us. Did you want to add to that?
Yeah, if you're seeing yourself in a certain label and you're continuing to walk in that identity, doesn't that become an idol?
Sure, absolutely. Because it's something that you have put above what God has said about you.
Yes.
And that's what Jesus taught us to do, is to only speak what God has said about you. You would say, it is written, I am God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works.
Yes,
it is written. I have the mind of Christ. Therefore, I have His purposes and His goals and His feelings. It is written, by His stripes, I am healed.
Yes.
It is written. So going back to what God says about the situation and taking that label off of your identity, making it your enemy, and saying, no, I'm not going to wear this anymore. But it might be worth mentioning that sometimes we choose to hold on to those labels mm-hmm. because they make really great excuses. Ouch.
Ooh, yeah.
Yep, I just said that. We sometimes hold on to those weaknesses or hold on to those labels because they're great excuses.
Yes.
You know, we hang on to the disability because that's a great, great excuse to keep receiving a disability check.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that a disability check is evil. I'm just saying that if you are making anything your provider over who God is as your provider, then that's when you want to be challenged to say, God, how do you want to provide for me? Like I said earlier, He may want to use some of those resources that the world has given, like the disability checks. He may choose to use that for you, but you better be asking Him about that instead of holding on to it for yourself mm-hmm. out of fear or any other reason.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like when I was before the hip replacement, I never one time during those 2.5 years parked in a handicapped parking because, Kimberly, I would not see myself as handicapped. And a lot of people, what you're talking about is so true. It's how we see ourselves. And then God brought about a solution for me. I wonder if people continue in that disability or in parking in the handicap, if they ever become well or healthy again because of their decisions they've made, the choices they've made.
Yeah, and it's hard to confront that because it is the enemy will try to scare you. Oh, if I confront that, then I might not be healed. You know, so how am I going to live in life if I don't get these handicapped parking spaces or my disability check? You know, how am I going to live? You just need to know who your God is.
Yes.
Oh, you need to know how much He thinks of you. How much He longs to rest in you.
Right.
How much He delights in resting in you and dwelling in you. And He loves to provide for you. So taking every thought captive into the obedience of Jesus Christ, that comes from 2 Corinthians 10:5. And that is an important thing to do as we are taking those labels off of us. We're taking them captive and we're making them obey Jesus. Whatever Jesus has to say about us, it's what our Father says. So we need to remember that we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16 tells us that. And God wants us to have His mind. He's providing those thoughts for us. And He's helping us take the enemy's thoughts captive and cause them to bow to Him in obedience to Him.
Yes. Oh, this has been so good. Oh, thank you, Kimberly. This is the time that I wish we had an hour to talk about Jesus and what He has done for us. Thank you so much. I appreciate so much your thoughts and the inspiration Holy Spirit has given to you. And remember, folks, this is the last time you can write a check for Samaritan's Purse. So make sure you do that. God bless you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.